Welcome to the Disciple Makers Podcast, featuring biblical teaching from Disciple Makers Ministry to college students.
Behold the glorious Christ, who creates, rules, subdues, and holds all things together. Jesus reconciles all things to himself, making unfaithful people like you and me to be holy and blameless. Here is Shannon Fodale's session from the 2016 Disciple Makers Women's Conference, titled, Jesus Makes Us More.
Wow, it is Sunday morning. I appreciated Heather's gentle reminder to love each other with pokes and wake-ups because we might need it. You know, I often feel like at the end of women's conference, I'm very compartmentalized. By that I mean physically I am exhausted, but spiritually I am like, oh, wide awake. Emotionally, I've feasted. I've had highs and lows. I feel awesome. And I hope, even like me today, you can compartmentalize. I see a yawn right now. I won't look at it. Compartmentalize the physical tiredness. And really, dig deep right now. If you need to walk in the back to stay awake, I'm good with that. If you need to ask your neighbor, can you poke me? I'm good with that. That's great. Because right now, we are going to look at a little section of God's Word that is absolutely sweet. Sweeter than honey to the tongue. It is so good. It is such good news. You may be feeling like, if you're an internal processor, I have got so much to process. I can't even begin to think about how much time I need to process all this information. And I need to go do schoolwork right away, right? If you're an external processor, you probably are feeling like there is not enough hours in the day to talk to someone about all of this information. What am I going to do with it all? What a blessing that you have this awesome packet right before you. I'm going to pick my little packet up. This is a treasure, and you can go through it again and again, and you can process things with your friends. It's okay. We don't think you're going to process everything before you leave. But right now, in our time together, we are just going to slow down. The fire hose, the fire hydrant of information that has been gushing at you all weekend is going to slow down. And it's going to be that spring little fountain of fresh water that we're going to drink from right now together. We are not going to focus on the humongous list that you have. We are going to narrow it down to the person of Jesus. Oh, it's what our hearts are longing for. We don't need another list. We need a person who will save us from the list. Jesus. So let's do it together. So if you open in your outline, we're going to be on page 14. And the outline itself is next to the text on page 15. We're going to do this by looking at how Jesus is supreme. He's supreme in his identity, number one. He's supreme in his creation, number two. And finally, he is supreme in his redemption, number three. So, in order to do this, we're going to read Colossians 1. Follow along with me on page 14. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. In him, all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy, blameless, above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Let me quickly pray. Father, we know that the laborers labor in vain unless you build your house. And so we ask, Jesus, would you build your house? Would you beautify your bride? Would you glorify your name? May we decrease and may you increase. And we commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, on your outline, Jesus is supreme in his identity. It's true, you were made in God's image. But Jesus fully images God. Check out verse 15. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the full image. There's a catechism for children. It says, can you see God? No, so I see some of the kids saying it. No, I cannot see God, but he can always see me. Isn't that so true? I can't see God, but actually, we can see God in the person of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That's mind-boggling. God himself in a person, one person of Jesus. Wow. So if you see Jesus, you see God. When you read about Jesus, you read about God. Do you ever lack motivation to spend time with Jesus or get in the Word? I do. But think about knowing God himself. Spending time with Jesus makes us know God. As you're reading through the Gospels, which if you're not familiar with the Bible, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're just biographies about Jesus' life. As you read through the Gospels, you encounter Jesus taking initiative with a woman at the well. You see God taking initiative, valuing that outcast woman, radically, in a countercultural way. When you see Jesus weeping with Mary after her brother's death, you see God grieved by what grieves us, by the brokenness of this world. When you see Jesus reaching out and touching the rejected, disdained leper, you see God reaching into our vileness, our brokenness, and accepting us. Healing our wounds. When you see Jesus, you see God. He is the image of the invisible God. Check out verse 19. It even adds to this picture. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. All the fullness. How is that possible? Like we said before, all of God squished into one beautiful, perfect person. It's true. Is Jesus 100% God? You betcha he is. 100%. Is he 100% human? You betcha he is. Hypostatic union. Crazy. How does it work? I don't know, but it's true. Should it surprise us that there's mystery woven into understanding God himself? We are his image bearers, but we're like little peanuts compared to God himself. There's mystery. How could we fathom him? Jesus is 100% God, 100% human. What's the application? This weekend, we have been talking about the fact that we are made for more. The topic of this talk is that Jesus makes us more. Isn't that a beautiful reality? You don't make yourself more. Jesus already made you more because he himself is God. The key, you can jot this down, the key to life is to make much of Jesus. Many of us just wish we could know God. You can know Jesus. The key to life is to make much of Jesus. Carve out undistracted time with Jesus. If there's nothing you do, carve out time to be with Jesus. Make your relationship with Jesus a priority. If you have a best friend, don't you want to spend time together? Like, don't you get so frustrated when we never see each other anymore? Like, you want to carve out time. He is that best friend that you are longing for. We want someone who knows us fully, the good, the bad, the ugly, knows us fully, but loves us in spite of it all. Jesus is that true husband that knows you fully and loves you fully. Spend time with him. If you don't know where to start with the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Get time with Jesus. He is what your heart is longing for. He is supreme in his identity. That was point number one. Point number two, he is supreme in his creation. So not just who he is, but what he has done. And this whole aspect of who Jesus is so astounding. It's so amazing. He is the designer of it all. We're going to look at actually four different areas: designer, source, ruler, and sustainer. And for those of you who like English, there's going to be a preposition that goes with each of those categories. So you can be excited to look for those prepositions. So looking at verse 15, the second half, Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. He's the designer. What does it mean he's the firstborn of all creation? What does that mean? Well, think about the teacher of the class or the driver of the bus. He is the firstborn of creation. He is over all creation. Think of the most powerful, the most terrifying thing in all of creation. He is above it all. It's nothing compared to him. The text even supports this when you look at verse 16. For, and here's your preposition, by him all things were created. That preposition is by him. He is the designer of all things. I want you just to take a moment and think about something in creation that is absolutely astounding, or it makes you stop thinking about your work or your relationships or your frets or your worries. Think about that moment when maybe you're at the beach and you just looked at the vastness of the ocean and you just couldn't help but be amazed. Or that mountaintop. Or maybe for those of us that like bugs, you just stop what you're doing and you just stared at the bug. Think about it. I want you to think about those moments. There were so many things I could have picked from, but I chose a very small little one that's a really quick snippet so that you could be let into my little world of what I think is absolutely so cool.
In the next scene, you're going to see a nice coral bottom, and you see that an octopus would stand out very easily there if you couldn't use your camouflage, use your skin to change color and texture. There's some algae in the foreground and an octopus. Isn't that amazing? Now, Roger spooked him, so he took off, a cloud of ink, lands, and when he lands, the octopus says, "Okay, I've been seen. Best thing to do is get as big as I can get." That big brown makes his eye spot very big, so he's bluffing. Let's do it backwards. I thought he was joking when he first showed it to me. I thought it was all graphics. So here it is in reverse. Watch the skin color. Watch the skin texture. Just an amazing animal can change color and texture to match the surroundings. Watch him blend right into this algae. One, two, three. And now he's gone, and so am I. Thank you very much.
Wow, that is so cool. You know, and online, I have things I could show you about a giraffe and about the woodpecker. I have, like, all of these videos, but I had to pick just one, and it had to be quick. Isn't that astounding? Do you know that they didn't even discover this animal was in existence a decade ago? It's in the deepest part of the ocean. Nobody even knows it's there. Except God from eternity. And it's marvelous. It's astounding. Ladies, this is nothing compared to the marvel and the beauty that you are. You bear God's image. That octopus, nothing. That beautiful scene of creation is nothing compared to you. You bear God's image. And you had nothing to do with bearing it. God made you. Jesus himself created you. You are a beauty. You are a marvel. What's the takeaway? He's the designer of all things. What's the takeaway? Who designed you? My hair is too curly. My hair is too straight. I wish I had blue eyes. I wish I had brown eyes. I wish I was more curvy. I wish I was less curvy. I mean, don't we all want the apple or the fruit that we can't have? Don't we all want the tree that we don't have? You did not design yourself, ladies. So stop acting like it's all about you. You were hand-picked and hand-carved. You are a marvel. You are a beauty. Don't despise your design. Why? Because you were designed by Jesus. Don't despise his design. The other side of this is don't glory in this design either, right? You didn't pick you. You didn't design you. You don't hold your DNA in place. What makes you amazing at whatever subject you're really good at? What makes you want to play a sport that you like to play? Or how can you sing so beautifully? Or play that instrument? Or draw a picture? What is it? No, not what is it. Who is it? Jesus designed you. So don't boast in your design. That's so silly. Boast in Jesus. He's your designer. For by him, all things were created. So under designer, a takeaway would be Jesus designed you. And avoid boasting or despising your design. Number two, Jesus is the source of all things. Verse 16 has another awesome preposition in it. All things were created through him, Through is the next preposition. By means of, through him. We see that Jesus is the designer, but not only that, he is the source. Why does 2 plus 2 equal 4? Why did it equal 4 yesterday? It still equals 4 today. It will equal 4 tomorrow. Why are there certain equations in all of creation that describe things? And they hold true yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. Why are there certain components that make a great story and a great movie? Why? Why? Because Jesus is the source of all things. His character is woven into everything. Why in music are there certain chords that just fit and other things that are dissonant? Why is there a pattern? Why can you memorize a circle of fifths for those music people? Why? Because there is a source behind all things, and it's Jesus. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So cool. So fun. There is absolutely no randomness in this world. Why? Because Jesus is the source of all things. For people who know Jesus and for people who don't know Jesus. Like, we go memorizing all these facts about creation. We can categorize things in biology based on certain traits. We all work under the presupposition of God's character being woven in the fabric of his creation, whether we know him or not. It's astounding. Jesus is the source of all things. Through him, all things remain. So, how should this impact our lives? Jesus needs to be the priority. Whatever it takes, whether it's a Bible study, whether it's your own personal Bible study, whether it's being at church, getting a good night's sleep on Saturday night so that you can worship him at church, there will be a cost to making Jesus your priority. In fact, when you go back to campus, you might feel the cost. You were here all weekend. The cost is worth it, ladies. The cost is so worth it. In eternity, no, let's not even go that far. 5 years from now, are you going to give a rip that you got 10% lower on a test? Or are you going to be so thankful that you dedicated this time to learning about Jesus and being refreshed and refocused? There's a cost. It is so worth it. The takeaway, your life will only make sense with Jesus as the center, because he's the source. Your life will only make sense with Jesus as the center. Why do you exercise? To glorify Jesus. Why do you study? To glorify Jesus. Why do you spend time with friends? Why do you ask questions instead of dominating a conversation? To glorify Jesus. Why do you talk even though you're like nervous to talk? To glorify Jesus. Why? Jesus. He is the source of all things. All right, let's move on. Not only is he the source of all things, he is the ruler of all things. He is the ruler. How should this impact us, and where do we see it? First of all, look at the quote at the top of your outline here. Humans have the unique capacity to enjoy God as God and to reflect his worth and glory as no other creature can. And this comes from the idea that we are made for Jesus. That's your next preposition. So number three under ruler, the preposition of choice is for him. They were created, all things were created for him. And this is also in verse 16. So much in one verse, it's crazy. We were created for Jesus. He is the ruler of all things. Why were you created uniquely? Not like an octopus, not like the ocean, not like the tree. I love in the feelings, we were all at the feelings seminar and workshop. Every thinker I talked to was like, I would never have gone to that. But I'm kind of glad I did. And I would be in that category. God has feelings. So we are uniquely designed. We have feelings. And in every aspect of our lives, we glorify God. Why? Because he is our ruler. Jesus is our ruler. We were created for him. It's that ownership concept. Like, remember when Megan was saying, you are not the master. Yeah, we were created for Jesus. We are not the master. We are the servant. And as that quote said on the top of your outline, we are so unique in all creation. We can glorify God. We can enjoy God. Joy. You can enjoy Jesus. That is so unique. I am astounded at how much purpose this gives life. Like I was saying before, why do we do everything we do? Exercise, study, sleep, awake, rest, work. Why do we do everything? Such purpose. We are created for Jesus. This is purpose. Glorifying Jesus is purpose in all the things we do. It really helps clarify, like, okay, I have a gazillion things on my list of things to be a part of, clubs to join. Well, it clarifies how to make a decision about what to do today, what will last, how can we invest the talents that we have, how can we invest the money we have. It really gives us a lot of clarity. We were made for Jesus. He is the ruler. Number four in this point is he is the sustainer. Wow. This is verse 17. Look there. And he is before all things. In him, all things hold together. In him, that's your new preposition, in. He is the sustainer of everything. Have you ever thought about the fact that the nucleus of every atom is positively charged? Probably not. I thought about it. And all the electrons going around the nucleus are negatively charged, and they should attract and, like, explode and not stay in existence. Have you ever thought about every planet has mass and therefore gravitational pull, and the sun has mass and gravitational pull? Why doesn't everything spiral in on itself? Why does every atom stay with the little electrons rotating around its nucleus? Why? Why? I will tell you why. Jesus sustains it all. That is why it doesn't cave in on itself. Do you know, scientists don't even understand, okay, you have a sperm, you have an egg, you make a new creature, a new eternal person, a being. We don't even know how that happens. We are so limited. I will tell you how it happens. Jesus is the sustainer of all life. What makes your food digest and you pluck out certain nutrients and then you know, the others? Okay? How does that happen? Jesus is the sustainer of life. He makes your food work. Wow. Whether you know him or you don't know him, he still makes it work. That is so cool. In him, everything is held together. It doesn't spiral out of control. There is one molecule that when it goes from being a liquid to a solid, doesn't become more dense and sink. Water. Why? Everything, when it's a liquid, it becomes a solid, it sinks. Why does ice float? Because Jesus is the sustainer of life. That ice protects everything in the oceans below, or the water below. That ice floating is one of the many reasons why the planet Earth can sustain life. Jesus is the sustainer of everything. It's amazing. And you can know him. And you can spend time with him. And he wants you to know him. What causes every flower to bloom? I could go on and on and on and on, and I gotta stop. He's amazing. He sustains all things. Okay, so we see that Jesus rocks it. He's the designer. He is the source. He's the ruler. He's the sustainer of all life. Someone so awesome and so powerful. What do you think he does with his amazingness? With his awesomeness? What would you do if you were that amazing and awesome? I'll tell you what Jesus does. Look at the next point on your outline. Jesus is supreme in his redemption. He takes all of his power, authority, dominion, and he uses it to redeem us. His creation that has rebelled against him. Ah, oh, isn't that good news? Amazing. Under his redemption, we're going to look at three quick things. First of all, Jesus is the head of the body, but he is the head. Second of all, death has been conquered. And lastly, you have been redeemed. You have been purchased back. You've been bought back at great cost and with great love. So first of all, Jesus is the head and we're the body. So look at verse 18. How do we see Jesus' supremacy in his redemption? He is the head of the body, the church, verse 18. He is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Did you see that? He is the head of the body. Now, many of you don't have children yet. You have lots and lots of spiritual children, I hope, but physical children. When you have children, they can bring such joy to your heart, but they can also be absolutely so embarrassing. You know, like when they're all up for the choir singing and they start picking their nose and you're like, oh no, get your hand down, get your hand, right? Not that any of my children ever did that, ever, okay? Jesus knits himself to us. He is our head. He's like, not just are you going to be my children, we're his body. So it's like he is the head and we are his body. What a crazy, flawed, ridiculous, insane body. But he decides he is the head. That's so amazing. What he does with his power and his supremacy is he decides to be our head. Wow. Number two, Jesus has conquered death. Right? We saw that in verse 18. Jesus is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. What does it mean that he was a firstborn from the dead? It means that Jesus conquered death itself. Jesus died on the cross. He himself took the penalty, the ultimate penalty that we deserve. He took it. I absolutely loved Liz read one pastor's rendition of what happened at the cross. Wow. To have his father look at him and falsely accuse him of all the wicked deeds that you and I have done. That's what it means, that he conquered death. He became sin for us. That is such good news. That is so shocking and scathing. Who would do that with his glory and his power and his awesomeness? Jesus. Wow. You see, Jesus took on the penalty of death, and he also has removed the power of death. If you are a Christian, if you've said, you know what? I know I am not good enough to get to God on my own. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Then what has happened is he has conquered death in two ways. The penalty and the power. Sin no longer is your master. You actually have power over sin. The hard thing to live in right now, the already not yet that we have to live in right now, is the presence of death. The presence of death is so real. The suffering that we undergo, maybe the financial decisions that our parents have made, that we long to make new choices. The presence is still there, but one day the best is yet to come. Jesus took care of that too. One day the presence of death will no longer be there. That is such awesome news. Jesus has conquered death. When we feel the presence of death, like we talked about this weekend, when you look at that humongous list of things, you're like, ways I need to grow, things I need to change, areas I need to do differently. When you sense death, that can remind you that Jesus himself has conquered death. Don't let that list be a burden and a weight that drags you down. Let that list be evidence of how great Jesus is. He conquered that. And the longer that list is, the greater Jesus is. So great, have a big list. Jesus conquered death. And in all the small ways that we talked about, in all the cell phone falls into the toilet ways, the paper is lost, all of those ways, you can do the same thing. Jesus conquered death. It's such good news. Whenever you feel unsatisfied or wanting more or fearful of losing something, that is a moment to remind yourself you were made for more. You were made for more. And Jesus made you more. You are longing for Eden. You are longing for heaven. And that is such a good feeling, that dissatisfaction. It's called godly discontent. That's okay. Godly discontent. This world is broken. It's okay. Godly discontent. And then the third thing, you've been redeemed. You've been redeemed, and so have I. I'm going to read at verse 19. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, through him to reconcile to himself all things. Jumping down, verse 21. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in your mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. Why? In order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Look at the tense of that verb. Past tense. Jesus has reconciled. It is done. It is finished. Reconciled. He bought you back. There was a price on your head. He reconciled that account. He bought you back. He paid for it. It is a beautiful thing that you have been reconciled. And why? He's going to present you holy, blameless, above reproach. That word above reproach can be such a bugaboo. Above reproach. You're like, who determines if I'm above reproach? I think I'm above reproach. Well, if everybody's looking at me, who determines? Well, before the Lord, you are above reproach. There's not even, not only is there no evidence, there's no thought of evidence. That's who you are if you are in Jesus. If you are a Christian, this is good news for you. Jesus has made you more. Jesus has made you more. When your Father in heaven looks down at you, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see all the things on your list that you don't do right. He looks at you and he sees his perfect, spotless beauty. There is no more shame. There is no more hiding. There is no more blame. Your Father looks at you, and all he sees is Jesus. Spotless, holy, above reproach. If you are a Christian, there is such hope and such peace in that identity. And I encourage you, we have a little time left. If you haven't come to know the peace and the hope of Jesus, now is the day of salvation for you. Now is the moment where you can be set free. You can stop making yourself more, and you can embrace the fact that Jesus has made you more. Give it down. Lay it down. Take the load off your back. Join God's family. Because once you're in, you're in. It is such sweet news. Confess that you're a sinner. Confess you deserve death. And just be thankful Jesus took it for you. Today is a good day. So let's move on to that last little section as we close. In application, the so what. So what? You are going to go back to campus. You are going to walk in the door, I guarantee you, of your dorm or your house or home if you commute. And I guarantee all those things that we talked about are going to be true. Satan's going to be waiting there. Oh, all that good seed, I'm just going to take it away. Stir up your heart. Fear, oh my goodness, tomorrow. I guarantee the battle will be waged immediately as soon as you walk in the door. It might start on your car ride home. So, verse 23 is really going to help you, and it's an application. It's put this way, continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. Not shifting from what? Not shifting from the hope of the gospel. The gospel, the good news. Jesus has done all the work. Your identity is secure in him. Jesus is who your heart is longing for. He can satisfy. What a beautiful worship set. He alone satisfies us, and he's yours. If you've ever longed for that friend or that relationship or that fulfillment, that achievement, anything, Jesus is it. And you have him. Don't shift from the hope of the gospel. Don't start running that rat race thinking, my identity's in my grades, my identity's in my... Just give it up. Leave it behind. Give it up. You do not need to prove your worth. You do not need to earn a ticket. You do not need to earn your money. Jesus is your provider. Jesus is your ticket. Jesus is the proof that you are valuable, that you are beautiful. You have been made by him. So as you go home, back to campus, may you make Jesus the longing of your heart. May you put aside anything that might distract you from him. He is so worth it. Don't shift from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. A friend of mine asked me, so what does this look like exactly? And I appreciate that question because I've been chewing on it. For me, what that looks like is, for me personally, just starting my day with Jesus. I make a cup of coffee. I get my Bible out. I sit in a comfortable place, far away from my desk, far away from my laundry machine, far away from my phone. And I just carve it out. Because I do not want to shift from the hope of the gospel. And it sounds so duh, but I'll tell you what, I don't do it. I mean, isn't it a battle to make him your joy and your priority? So I don't know what it would look like for you to not shift from the hope of the gospel, but I know for me that's what it looks like. And I have been praying that you too would realize the beauty of that quote on the top of your outline. You have the unique capacity to enjoy God as God and reflect his worth and glory as no other creature can. It has been an awesome weekend. You and I have gotten our eyes fixed on the best treasure there is in this whole world. He's ours. Enjoy him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is the designer, the source, the ruler, the sustainer of all life. And he chose to redeem us with all his glory, with all his power. Lord, help us to make much of Jesus. Help us to put Jesus at the center of our lives. Help us to have purpose because of Jesus. We love you, Lord, but we only love you because you first loved us. Thank you for loving us, and thank you so much for this sweet time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Teaching from Disciple Makers. To learn more about Disciple Makers, check out our website at www.dm.org. Follow us on Twitter at Disciple Makers, or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/disciplemakers. Disciple Makers, reaching the campus, reaching the world.